I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We continue meeting some of the artists coming to Vancouver for the Push Festival that's on throughout the city until the 5th of February. Vicky Chow joins me now. The Canadian pianist will be returning to Vancouver for two performances, the 23rd and 24th of January at the Fox Cabaret on Main Street. She and percussionist Ben Reimer will be presenting 4,000 Holes with Music on Main. I'll get Ms. Chow to tell us about the John Luther Adams piece, as well as the world premieres of works by Vincent Ho and Music on Main's composer-in-residence, Nicole Lise. Visit pushfestival.ca for tickets and information, as well as vickychow.com. Vicky Chow has been described by the Los Angeles Times as a new star of new music, and by the New York Times as brilliant. She studied at Juilliard and the Manhattan School of Music. She made her orchestral debut at the age of 10 with the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra. She lives in New York City, where she joins me from today. Please welcome to the Plant on Line program, Vicky Chow. Ms. Chow, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I was reading your bio. You grew up in Vancouver, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I was born in Vancouver and I grew up there until I left and moved to New York for school.
Yeah. So you went to was it your master's at Juilliard?
I did my undergrad and my master's at Juilliard.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So this show that you're coming back home to do for Push Festival and Music on Main, you're co-featured with Ben Reimer. Have you worked with him before?
This is the first time that we're collaborating together on this program. We met a few years ago and through a summer festival that I'm a part of every summer with Bang & Akin. And he was one of the fellows, and he came through. And we've been talking about trying to find a way to make some music together. And fast forward five years, and here we are. We're happy, really, really happy to be able to bring this program to Vancouver.
So it's called 4,000 Holes. That's the name of the piece by John Luther Adams. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, how would you describe that for people listening to us and just what they might expect on the 23rd and 24th?
Well, on the program, there's 4,000 Holes by John Luther Adams, which is the work that was written in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And the program also consists of two world premieres of newly commissioned works by two Canadian composers. One is Vincent Ho, who is based in Calgary right now,
mm-hmm.
and the other is Nicole Lise, who is based in Montreal. And this is a very eclectic program. The very first piece on the program will be the piece by Vincent Ho.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the program is based around the drum set because Ben Reimer is basically a badass on drums and, of course, on percussion instruments in general. Like he has a percussion quartet called Architect. But drum set is kind of his instrument, his main instrument, his main focus. So we have this very virtuosic work that Vincent wrote for us for piano and drum set. It's in three movements, and it's kind of in the jazz idiom / influences with, like, gamelan and some improvisation. So it's a mixture of genres, and it's a very highly virtuosic work that is coming out of the first movement until the very last movement, just kind of a big, like, race, I guess you can almost say. It's a very athletic piece. I was kind of joking around in email, we've been corresponding the past few months, saying, like, you know, after working on Vince's piece, I think I'm going to be in, like, the best shape of my life, technically, like, since my college days or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge, definitely, for me on a personal end. I'm not sure about for Ben or not, because, you know, he makes everything sound very easy.
Yeah.
And then the second piece on the program, sorry if I'm kind of rambling.
No,
I
that's
just
fine.
Want to
yeah.
talk about the program. It was really, really fun because with Nicole Lise, she likes to do a lot of things with, like, electronics, pre-recorded tracks, manipulation of materials, and with things with video. Ben has worked a lot with her. They're old, you know, friends and colleagues. And it's my first time working with her, and one of the ideas we had when we commissioned her is to perhaps use one of the you know, a very inspirational artist that recently passed away, which is Prince.
Mm-hmm.
So the work is going to be with a lot of recognizable musical material and sounds from Prince's collection of works,
mm-hmm.
Including a video. And then after that, the second half of the program is the American composer John Luther Adams, 10,000 Birds. Oh, sorry, not 10,000 Birds, sorry. That's on my mind right now because I'm thinking about that. But
4,000 Holes.
4,000 Holes. He likes to use large numbers.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's confusing. 4,000 Holes, piano and percussion. And what's really, really beautiful about this work is it's just a 30-minute long piece. It doesn't sound very difficult, but it's very challenging to put together. One for its very specific... Well, okay, if you're not familiar with the work and you listen to it,
mm-hmm.
it sounds very pretty, you know? It sounds as if this really, really glacial, pretty work with, like, you know, lots of kind of pings, and it's kind of almost like ambient sounding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you have, like, the pre-recorded tracks, and you have these chords, these really beautiful E major chords, C major, A minor. It's all, like, kind of, like, circle of fifths. It's all chordal. And then in the percussion part, you have, like, the glocks and the vibraphone, you know. It sounds kind of random, everything is so specific. And I think that that's one of the challenges of this piece is that it sounds like we're just kind of playing things at random, or if not, the percussion is playing things at random, but it's actually not. It's all very specific. We're all playing. We have to be together with the click. There's different patterns. Literally of different rhythms of like twos and threes, fours, fives, and sevens in all of our parts, and it's like a lot of layers. It's a rhythmically complex work that doesn't sound very complex.
Yeah, I guess that's like most of life, isn't it? When artists make things look easy for the audience, it really isn't.
Yeah, I guess like that's the goal. So I guess. If we can perform the work successfully, it's all going to make you make the audience feel really relaxed.
And so you live in New York now, that must be such a great place for someone in your line of work in terms of finding people to collaborate with. And is that key, I guess, in your career, the chance to work with people like Mr. Reimer and get to talk to people like Vincent and Nicole?
I moved to New York about 15 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
16 years now. You know, originally I was a classical pianist. I went to school at the Vancouver. I studied piano at the Vancouver Academy of Music with a teacher in Vancouver, Lorraine Ambrose. Like, she's really, really wonderful. And I was studying like classical piano, and that's what I thought I was going to do. I performed like with the VSO when mm-hmm. I was a kid, you know, doing concertos and stuff. And then I moved to New York to go to Juilliard, not ever really realizing what course my life would steer. And I think a big part of it, like, is because of my geographic location, like, most definitely, like, where I am, I'm very lucky to have all, like, being surrounded by so many amazing artists, it's kind of informed me of, like, some of the musical paths I've taken. I've been able to collaborate and meet different people. It's certainly, a very like highly concentrated area for creative work, especially because you can go to a concert and you see like some of like most amazing composers. You know, like I'm the pianist for this group called Bang in a Can, and I joined them in 2009. So it's been 7 years now or 8 years, yeah. And I remember when I was in school, like Michael Gordon, David Lang, Julie Wolf, like these were some of the composers that I was like looking up to.
Yeah.
You know, Bang in a Can All Stars were like was a group that I looked up to. You know, people like John Zorn or Steve Reich or John Luther Adams or all these people are people that I like studied, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think not being here in New York has allowed me the opportunity and the chance to meet these people. And then, of course,
Is it better for you as an artist, as a pianist, to have the close proximity with people like that as opposed to, say, the classical stuff? You mean that's hundreds of years old?
Well, certainly, I it's really great to be able to work with a composer who's living.
Yeah.
Because you can ask them questions specifically. There's only so much information that the pages can give you. You know, you know, playing the works of like Beethoven or Chopin, or you know, there is like a tradition of how this music is interpreted. Not saying that it needs to be always be interpreted that way, but it's been done over and over again, and we can't ask them directly. Is this how you wanted to sound? And the instruments have improved over the years, so like really, to be honest, like we don't really know how they want it to sound.
Mm.
But you know, you have. You know, working with Julia Wolf or something, and like someone like her, you know, she'll be there at rehearsals, or she's working on a new piece with All Stars, and you can ask her specifically, oh wait, is this the sound that you want? And she can tell you exactly what she's hearing in her mind, or any, you know, playing these pieces for composers, and they can say, no, that's not what I meant. Like, oh yeah, I did write a dot there, but maybe don't play it so short. Or they can tell you play it shorter, because everybody's interpretation of notation is a little bit different. That's what sets us apart, right? And on top of that, like working with a composer, there's a sense of a creative collaboration. Especially if you're commissioning new work, like you know something like what Ben and I are doing for this upcoming concert, is like working with Vincent and working with Nikki, and we can ask Vince, like, hey, actually, like this part. Can we maybe try doing it like this? Or like, oh, we're trying to figure out like the tempos for this. Maybe this will work. So it's a work in progress, and there's a dialogue between the composer and the performers. And I think that's like a really rewarding thing to be able to have that conversation instead of just having the score that's given to you, and you just have to kind of follow directions and have questions that cannot be answered.
Yeah. You mentioned a moment ago about how physically demanding performing is, because I've seen videos on YouTube, and it is quite, it's not just playing the piano. I mean, you're physically there. How do you prepare for a performance like that, where it is, as you say earlier, you know, where you feel like it's a workout?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been playing the piano long enough that sometimes I have to kind of trust myself. It's hard to. It's still like a work in progress. And but learning to know how your brain and your body works, I guess. I practice. You know, I usually try to practice if I can. And depending on each piece, like if they all have its own challenges, like Vince's piece, like coming up, like that's a very virtuosic work for both Ben and I, and like his writing style is in his own language. You know, that's the thing. I think what's challenging being a new music performer is that like every composer kind of has their own language,
mm-hmm.
And like trying to be able to navigate all of the different ways in which a certain composer approaches an instrument. Is sometimes a little bit difficult because you have to like switch gears really quickly. I mean, it's kind of this kind of challenge is not new for a classical musician. You know, you grew up playing music of Bach, and then all of a sudden you have to play like a romantic piece, and then you have to play like Liszt,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to play, you know, whatever, Scriabin or something, and then Tchaikovsky, whatever, Mozart, and like all of these styles are so different. All of these composers use the instrument so differently. And has a, you know, they all written in different style, and so it's not that different from that. The only difference is that a lot of times you've got to spend a little extra time trying to figure out like what language this composer is writing in. I'm diverging off of your question now. In terms of preparation, you know, I try and practice as much as I can when I can, because, you know, sometimes I'm on the road and I don't have an instrument to like practice on. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think there are similarities to playing classical music in the new music world too. And I think what's fun, yeah, I think that's like, I don't even think I realized that until now too.
Yeah.
Like all these different styles that these composers write in, and just having to try to be fluent in all of them. It's just like, it's language, you know?
Yeah. The other thing that I was wondering about, Vicky, was because I've watched pianists over the years, is why they sit on the bench that they do. I mean, if you're, one is performing, say, with a symphony, couldn't one perform with, say, a chair that had a back to it? Or is that just defeat the purpose of I mean, is it more helpful to be on a bench without a back, say?
That's a very interesting question. I don't think I've ever thought about that. I mean, I guess you could, you know. I think it's just probably for aesthetics.
Yeah.
Really. You know, I mean, when you're playing the piano, I don't really see many people, like, leaning back, because you can't really play the piano leaning back.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you could, but it would be, you know, you want to lean into the piano.
I see, yeah. And the other thing I've noticed about pianists is that they must have great posture. And I guess that's something that comes out of playing for as long as one does, right?
I'm not sure about that. You know, Glenn Gould had horrible posture, and he sat on, like, a really odd chair. So, and then you watch, like, jazz piano. I mean, that's the thing, you know. Like, with classical pianists, you have all the, or conservatory trained, like, there's all these schools of technique and schools of thought of, like, how you should approach the instrument. Yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, you have these, like, amazing jazz pianists like Thelonious Monk or Art Tatum or people like Glenn Gould, who just completely defies that, you know, defies any of these schools of thought for technique. And, oh, I'm sorry, that's my dog howling in the back. And so there is no one way, I think, you could approach anything. I think it's great that everybody has their own way of doing something.
The other thing that I'm interested in, Vicky, from what I've read of the show that's upcoming here in Vancouver with you and Ben Reimer, is the intersection between, say, the piano as we know it, the musical instruments as we know it, and technology. Was that always something important for you to explore throughout your career?
I've been, at least the past, like, 10 years or so. I've always been, when I started doing new music or you know, going towards that, I, you know, wanted to explore the possibilities of the instrument. You know, it's funny because I approach music from a classical point of view. That's just because that's what I was trained in.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think of music and from, you know, other genres, and electronics is not such a surprising element, you know. Pop artists use it all the time. Films, you know, any other genre uses it all the time, but just only purely from a classical point of view or an experimental point of view, it's not really done. And, of course, like, the past, like, 100 years or so, or whatever, there's tons of composers who have explored this specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started digging into, like, exploring the new music world, that's, naturally, it kind of led to that. I mean, there's a lot of people who have written for piano electronics and who are exploring, like, extended techniques, et cetera, et cetera. So it just naturally put me down that path. And then when I started going, like, got to the place where I started commissioning new works by, like, friends of mine who were composers, et cetera, it was definitely a request I made. And when I was, like, looking for new works, it's a thing that I was looking for because it's an area that I haven't explored so much personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think there's a lot of possibilities with that. Yeah. So
it's important for it's important for you as you progress through your career to be innovative as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess trying to find something new or growing, I guess, is what it is. You know, I don't know if what I'm doing or is anything new from, you know, anybody else that has done this, but I'm trying to find the thing that speaks to me the most. I think that's the most important thing. I think, like, the aim of trying to be innovative is not my goal, but trying to find musical collaborations and music that I think, you know, that speaks to me the most, and I think that interests me the most. I think that's kind of the main focus.
So I go on your website and I read there that you started playing piano at the age of 5. Was that something that interested you at 5, or did you have, say, did someone say you have an aptitude towards playing piano at that age?
I started playing the piano when I was 5 because I have 2 older siblings, and they started piano lessons.
Mm.
I guess I actually have to thank my sister, my older sister, because she was the one that really wanted piano lessons. And so when the teacher came over to our house, like, I would sit there at the end of the piano and play the very high notes and, like, kind of tinkle,
yeah,
you know, the keys. And after she left, like, I would be the one at the piano, like, you know, just playing whatever that I heard or practicing. My siblings didn't practice very much. but yeah, that's kind of how I got interested in playing the piano.
So I guess if you are interested at a young age, it's important for, say, to cultivate that as you get older, because then you can develop into an artist, if you will, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I've always wondered, like I'm 34, and I am wondering if I've got enough time left in life to learn how to play piano. Or does one have to get at it at, say, an early age?
Well, it depends. I mean, I think there's always enough time to learn something new.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm not sure, do you play any musical instruments?
No, I don't.
Do you sing, or have you sung before,
no,
or karaoke?
Not well. That's the problem. It's not like that I've been thinking that I want to do this, but I'm just thinking, like, at my age, like, would you suggest for people who are, say, middle-aged even, that it's something that they can pick up easily?
I think picking up an instrument, I mean, it's not, it depends on each person, but I feel like you have to kind of try to see how it goes. And,
yeah,
you know, one instrument might not be the one for you. You have to kind of find your instrument, find your calling.
Now,
never too late.
Yeah, well, I'll think about it then. How's that? What do you like listening to? I mean, if you have to unwind, what's on your iPod, say?
I guess it, like, changes a little bit each time. Well, let's see. What have I been listening to? Usually, I mean, sometimes, like, I listen to a lot of the things that I am actually, like, working on.
I see.
Or, like, I listen to, like electronic music or, like, hip-hop, or just, I try to find, like, different artists, like, new artists to listen to. So I might not be, or, but actually, sometimes I do indulge in, like, more well-known artists and stuff like that, like, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess,
when you
study classical music like that, and then you work in, say, contemporary music, you get from each sort of genre that you can, and you know, you learn from each, I suppose, right?
Yeah, a little bit, and it's all kind of related, you know. You know, it's like food. You know, food is a pretty general,
yeah,
topic, you know, and there's very different types of food, you know, and there's, like, very, very different types of food, but you can learn to appreciate all of them because it's all kind of using the same ingredients, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so it's the same thing with music. Like, there's so many different artists who are extremely talented and amazing, and they use the same language in so many different ways. And it's very inspiring. It speaks to that same part you know, at least like for me, it's, I think it speaks to that same part. Like when you hear someone who does whatever that they that it is that they do at a very high level, you can feel it. You can sense like the commonality. You know, even though it's not the same, it's not classical or it's not contemporary music. It could be anything. It's like food. You know, if you can appreciate really like well cooked, like well thought out, you know, menus and restaurants, like when you go to one versus, you know, you go to like a fast food joint or something. Not that fast food isn't sometimes really good too. Like, you know, I do go to McDonald's like once a year or something, but it's not, you know, so great for you nutritionally.
Yeah.
But when, you know, when you, there's somebody that like, you can tell that they've like put their heart and soul into making that song or whatever it is. It speaks to that same place, I think.
When you, because music is your work, for a lot of us, regardless of what job we have or whatever our passion is, we turn to music. I mean, are you like the rest of us, say, and find that you can that you need music in your day-to-day life, even if it wasn't for work?
Yeah, I mean, I listen to. Well, it's like yes and no. I think it depends. Like, when I'm traveling, I listen to a lot of music. You know, I kill time. But you know, if I'm practicing, I'm working on music all the time. So you know, when I'm done, then I may either switch off and just like silence is pretty nice.
Yeah.
Or listen to something completely different just to get my mind off things.
And you come back to Vancouver regularly, right? I mean, I was looking up your schedule on your website. You come here to perform at least once a year. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. The last time I was in Vancouver, it was back in. Actually, I don't remember now.
Yeah.
I think it was about a year ago. I did a piece, I think, at the Western Front. Maybe it was a little bit over a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's a piece by a Vancouver composer named Remy Hsu, and it's a kind of a more performative performance art piece with also video and media and electronics.
Mm-hmm. And it's always fun to come home for you, is it?
Well, my family is here, is there, I guess, rather, so it's always nice to see my family there.
Yeah, and what's it like then to come back to where you grew up and perform as you do? I mean, that must be an interesting experience, is it?
Yeah, I think it's like the first time it happened, and that was like in 2010. It was also for Music on Main. I've been coming back almost every year with working with David Pan, Music on Main, and it was really, really. It's a really warm feeling because there's a sense of like, yeah, there is a sense of like being very like proud to be able to like come back and share like the music that I've been working on, you know, like it's like going out on a journey and coming back and like trying to share this with people that you grew up with.
Yeah.
And also I think what's interesting is for me is that I grew up playing classical music and I was very much in that world in Vancouver. And I don't think contemporary music in Vancouver was very active at that point. I know that there are people who were there, for sure, probably coming through. But this is kind of not just in Vancouver, this is kind of a general thing, I think, like in terms of for new music and contemporary music is that it's definitely growing. I think there has been a lot of efforts being made locally in each city, in different countries, like, you know, in Canada and the U.S. too, to try and promote this, to have people interested in new music, in the classical music world, and otherwise. So, I mean, already there are people who are, in the past anyways, like, there's less interest in classical music. You know, people always say classical music is dying because no one goes to the concerts, or all the people who go there are people who, you know, has like gray hair and silver hair or whatever. There's like the young generation are interested, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, at least like when I was there, that's what it was. And yeah, like, you know, none of my friends really cared about classical music. Like, you know, I was only like one of the few people who really did. And it's a very interesting thing now, because the past 10 years or so, with the push of, you know, composers,
mm-hmm.
younger composers, living composers, I think it's helped classical music a lot, because it's becoming relevant for a younger generation and a younger audience. And because of this connection, I think it's interesting to see this grow in Vancouver. I mean, I can't really speak to it, you know, 100%, because I only do come back once a year or so. But I do have to say, like, every time I come back, it really seems like it's growing a lot more. I remember, you know, 15 years ago, going on the website looking for new music, you know, series in Vancouver, and there wasn't much happening. There wasn't a lot. You know, not to say there weren't any. There's probably things that, you know, someone might be like, oh, what's she talking about? Like, she doesn't know what she's saying.
Yeah.
But at least from me personally, I was trying to, like, look for things to do in my hometown, to the places to perform, and there weren't really any. But now you look at, like, Music on Main, you look at the Push Festival, and you look at the Vancouver Symphony even now, and you look at, you know, various, like, more DIY venues. Like, I know that Remy Hsu has, like, just started a new venue in his studio called the Golden Saucer, and he's bringing in a lot of international, like, experimental artists, like, coming through town. These things didn't exist before. And I think, like, one of the really exciting things for me to coming back each year to perform is to see this new growth, this new interest, and this new vibrancy in the city that, like, wasn't there when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago or whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah, well, it's a fascinating time, especially around this time during Push. It's really great to have had the chance to talk to you with all the success. And congratulations and all the best. I appreciate your time today, Vicky.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. VickyChow.com is the website, pushfestival.ca. 4,000 Holes featuring Vicky Chow and Ben Reimer is on January 23rd and 24th at the Fox Cabaret. Vicky Chow joined me on the line from New York City and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.